It is Acadiana's
reigning, defending, undisputed
number one sports talk station. And this is its exclusive podcast on the sport of
professional wrestling.
103.7 The Game's 20 by 20 Pro Graps podcast is scheduled for one fall. 20 minutes on everything happening inside the 20 by 20 squared circle.
Are you ready?
Ring the bell.
Oh, we are ready to talk some Pro Graps with you. It's the 20 by 20 Pro Graps podcast. And my goodness, we have a lot to talk about in terms of what happened over the weekend in the world of pro wrestling. Honestly, I may have lost a lot of sleep, but it was well worth it, involving all the pro wrestling that we had, including all the college football we had as well. A lot of coverage. But of course, I'll give you an idea of what happened this past weekend. Please trust me, it was absolutely lit. Not necessarily true pay-per-views on tap, but trust me, some really good stuff, including New Japan, Royal Quest, NXT TakeOver, UK, Cardiff happened. A lot of interesting things happened on those shows, but of course, it's all about AEW All Out. I'll give you some quick overall thoughts on the other two shows that happened over the course of the weekend. Definitely was a fantastic one for wrestling fans all over the place. We'll start things off talking about what happened across the pond with NJPW's Royal Quest show. Nothing really out of the ordinary. It was relatively uneventful. The only significant thing that did happen was Kenta is your new never open weight champion, defeating Tomohiro Ishii. A real surprise there. And then also, Ace is your new British heavyweight champion, and that is Hiroshi Tanahashi beat Zack Sabre Jr. That was a real surprise as well. But outside of that, again, it was relatively, you know, things happened, but it wasn't necessarily as big of a deal as maybe you would have expected. What you didn't see anything major progress in their first show across the pond in the UK. But I will say this, it's been interesting to see how things have gone. Kind of break down what happened on the card. Overall, I'd probably say my favorite match of the night was the Ishii-Kenta match. Mind you, Kenta looked like he got concussed towards the end of that, so hopefully he's okay and he's able to be ready to go before, obviously, the start of the end of the year. Then you build up towards Wrestle Kingdom. Hopefully that concussion, it's not as serious as it looked, because it looked like at one spot he landed almost directly on his head. And we all know he's had a series of injuries that kind of delayed his coming up in WWE back in the NXT days. He wound up looking really good as Hideo Itami to start, and then just injury after injury after injury wound up causing him to be on the shelf for a significant period of time. His shoulder injury, I believe he had a neck injury as well that sidelined him for a while, and then he went on 205 Live and then not necessarily used as much, and then Hideo's like, I'm done. I think largely because of the fact, again, he had to deal with a lot of those injuries. But it's great to see him, new never open weight champion, beating him of the short and stout Ishii. I was intrigued by that one, but man, Minoru Suzuki and Kazuchika Okada was definitely my favorite match from this card. I wound up catching a lot of this on delay because I was over in New Orleans catching the Cajuns Mississippi State game, which was damn competitive, but that's another show on another little live and local radio program here on 103.7 The Game. But this is the 20 by 20 Programs podcast, giving you all the latest concerning all things pro wrestling. Now that I'm kind of flying solo, we're doing things just a little bit differently, but I'll give you some thoughts on it in just a little bit. Again, you know, relatively meaningless pay-per-view with New Japan Royal Quest. It just went out on New Japan World. If you want to check that out on demand, I'd say watch it a little bit closer to, you know, the next big show that New Japan is going to be putting together, and that is Road to Destruction. I believe that's going to be coming up in just a few short weeks. But again, I just wasn't necessarily sold on this being an amazing card. It's one of those, I'd honestly, if you're not a big New Japan fan, I'd probably skip it, because not much really is going to intrigue you outside of Okada, Suzuki, and the Kenta Ishii matchup. Nothing really. It was a lot of tag team matches. No real storyline progression with some of these. Meanwhile, you got NXT TakeOver Cardiff, and they wound up living up to the hype. A lot of great matches all the way around. I think one of the big ones everybody's been talking about is Dragunov and Cesaro squaring off. And my goodness, Cesaro still is probably one of the most underrated wrestlers on WWE's roster right now. And he proved that once again being able to put over a young talent, even in defeat when you're talking about Dragunov, it reminded me a lot of the Cesaro-Sami Zayn match they had at, I believe it was the OG TakeOver match, and that was a phenomenal way to start off the show. This was only the second match on the main card. Overall, great performances from Cesaro and Dragunov, but I think what everybody's been talking about is Walter Tyler Bate. 42 minutes, and they went at it. Absolute war. Very well done. Very just good paced match. It really puts Tyler Bate over as one of the top guys in NXT UK, even though he wound up losing to Walter. I was definitely shocked by that. And honestly, I was surprised with how some of those matches went when you look at the card, especially some of the title matches with the NXT UK tag titles. They're going to Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster for winning a triple threat tag team match. And then Toni Storm loses the NXT UK women's title so quickly. It feels like she had just won it yesterday, and now she lost it to Kaylee Ray. Potentially, and I'm just going to throw it out there, potentially this means Toni Storm, Rhea Ripley are going to be going over to the yellow brand, the big NXT, once they shift over to live programming on September the 18th. I know Rhea Ripley probably going to be poised for a NXT women's title match before too long. But honestly, it's got a lot of intrigue to it. And then you got Walter retaining the title. No surprise there. I feel like they're just going to build Walter up as the absolute monster that he is, to where nobody is going to be taking the title from him. It's going to be a lot longer of a reign than most people think. Then again, Pete Dunne's was like a 2-year reign. It was insane. I think that we see Tyler Bate still in that title picture, but I think you're going to be having multi-man matches with Walter going forward if you want to wind up having a continue to tease a new NXT UK champion down the line. But honestly, NXT TakeOver card, if you haven't checked it out yet, I'd recommend you go do that before Raw. I'd probably wind up, as soon as I'm done doing this, I might wind up rewatching some of the matches. Mainly, the Cesaro Dragunov match was probably my match of the weekend outside of one that was on AEW's card. And speaking of AEW, that's what we're here to talk about. And I was surprised with a lot of the stuff here as well. More so what happened with the Casino Battle Royale, as well as what they did with the triple threat match between Havoc, Allin, and Joey Janela. That, all around, really great show, fun show. Not necessarily as good as, say, Double or Nothing, or even, I'd say, I had more fun watching from start to finish Fyter Fest than maybe I did watching this show. There were some moments where I was just, not necessarily sold on it, but I absolutely enjoyed a lot of the stuff that was on the card, top to bottom. The Casino Battle Royale, it was meh. I felt like there was a lot of missed opportunities, and again, it shows the limitations that AEW has had in the past, and also showing, more importantly, some of the production issues they've had, and maybe they'll wind up being patched up once October 2nd comes around and we start building towards full gear. More importantly, we start having a more of a TV production crew handling everything, because I think that's absolutely huge towards building what's going on with AEW. But Nyla Rose wins, last eliminating Britt Baker. She dominated all the way around. I believe she eliminated 11 female wrestlers, and it was so good. I'll say this. Nyla Rose winning that, I am not surprised at all. But, of course, I'm more just disappointed in the rest of the wrestling community, kind of immediately burying this and the transphobia going on with this. I'm not going to dive into much detail about it, but it was not exactly a good look for the pro wrestling world to see what was going on with obviously the Nyla Rose, her winning the Battle Royal for a chance to win the AEW Women's Championship. That's going to be on the first AEW show on TNT, which the name is supposed to be announced pretty soon on October the 2nd. But a lot of great positives to come out of that pre-show, because it felt like, when we talk about what happened with Fyter Fest and Fight for the Fallen, where they didn't feel like pre-shows, they felt more like basically fan service for that hour. This felt more like a professionally done pre-show, where it was felt like when you watch WWE's pre-shows where you see them break down every little thing, this was really well done. And then you got Private Party and Angelico and Jack Evans. This was a phenomenal match. Private Party looks amazing. I'll say it right now. Private Party is going to win one of the tag titles before long because they definitely deserve it. They're one of the rising stars in this industry. It really shows how much they have an eye for talent with All Elite Wrestling. And don't get me started on them, their new guy that recently that had a debut video package where he looked like he was coming straight out of the Terminator. But it was so well done, I can't hate on it at all. Then the main card started, SCU versus Jurassic Express, which, by the way, is a five-star name. But you had the Jurassic Express, Marco Stunt, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus taking on SCU. And I got to say, all three of the guys, Marco Stunt, Jungle Boy, and Luchasaurus, immediately became like one of the hottest like baby faces in the company, be it a trio, be it a singles match. I want to see these guys go at it any given time, any given place, because they just tore the house down. Some of the spots they had, I mean, you had Luchasaurus, a freaking dinosaur, doing Hurricanranas. You saw him doing the most amazing stuff, doing flips. It was what you wanted to be and more. A great way to start off the main pay-per-view hot. And this is coming after two really fun Battle Royale and a fun tag team match leading into that. And then you've got Pac taking on Kenny Omega, a late replacement for Jon Moxley, who obviously was sidelined with an elbow, with a staph infection in his elbow. My goodness, just cannot stay healthy, but hopefully he can be ready to go for October the 2nd, because we'd love to see that be an eventual pay-per-view main event. Just a fun match. Pac gets the win. Referee stoppage. He wound up having a nice submission on. Something you really just didn't expect from, obviously, Pac, a guy who is known for his acrobatic ability, his air raid offense. Just phenomenal to see him actually use submissions, utilize that to beat Kenny Omega. And Kenny, you know, it's going to wind up building up to where Kenny, I think, is going to feel like the guy left out of a lot of things. I feel like it's going to be Kenny Omega continues to lose the big matches. He continues to lose the big matches because, again, AEW is building it up as wins and losses matter. Being able to get wins and not lose, especially when it comes to singles matches. And Tony Khan dived into detail about that during the post-show, during a post-show media scrum, which, by the way, is amazing that they're doing that in 2019. I wish WWE should do that, especially with their pay-per-views. That would be really cool to see them do more post-show scrums. And as a media member, I would love that as well. That being said, I got to say, Pac defeating Kenny Omega, a surprise. Kenny Omega is going to wind up probably turning heel before the year is over. And then you look at the triple threat Cracker Barrel Clash 8. Oh, my God. Holy censored for radio. All the way around, just so many great spots. I mean, we saw the coffin drop with the barrel and pretty much killed Darby Allin. An amazing match. Really showed off everybody's ability. Darby Allin doing a skateboard thumbtack ollie. I have never seen anything like that before in my life. And it was well worth the price of admission to see that one. It's one of those matches where if you don't like hardcore wrestling, you know, you're not going to like it that much. And that's fine. But I absolutely enjoyed every last minute of that. And then you had the Dark Order, Luke. Then you had the Dark Order and the Best Friends, Chuck Taylor, Trent Barretta, tag team match for the winners to receive a first-round bye in the AAW World Tag Team Title Tournament. Oh, boy, that was fun. This is probably the one match where I wasn't necessarily super excited about it. You know, Super Smash Brothers are really fun. The Dark Order worked really well. Best Friends, it was fun. But I think the only thing that I can remember about it is the post-match whenever you have your boy Orange Cassidy pop up out of nowhere. And then you see him dive with his hands in his pockets, and he still stay on, and his sunglasses still on. It was positively just one of my top 10 favorite spots from the night. Easily. But again, Dark Order, Best Friends, fun match, but something you're not going to necessarily write home about and say, hey, this was the match that made you get into AEW. I feel like that definitely belongs a lot more to a match. We'll talk about it in a little bit. Riho Hikaru Shida This is one where I kind of tuned out a little bit because I was, again, you know, when you have a long day on a Saturday and then you've got tons of other stuff going on and your body just can't necessarily recover, recuperate, even watching it on delay, I was like, man, I'm getting towards the end of my night. I'm just about done, just about spent. So right before the Rio Hikaru Shida match, I paused. I came back to it the next day, and I enjoyed it. But I'm still going to say it's probably the worst match of the weekend, worst match on the card, so because I just wasn't that into it. I wasn't necessarily feeling the vibe around the match. It was fun. It was good. But it wasn't like, oh, hey, I'm like, I just did not feel it. I didn't feel up to saying Rio Hikaru Shida was a phenomenal match. It might be the wrong opinion, but it just did. I could not get into it. Hopefully we see the Rio Nyla Rose match, and I'm definitely going to be into it, but I'm not going to say, hey, this was a bad idea. And then you have Cody taking on Sean Spears, and people kind of hated on this match a little bit because of the fact you had a little bit of a dusty finish. Obviously, you had a little bit of an interference. It was definitely not a clean win for Cody, but guess what? Those two definitely brought the house down in a very entertaining, very old-school type feel to it. Obviously, you had a lot of old-school guys in there. Tully Blanchard, Cody Rhodes, son of Dusty Rhodes. And then Arn Anderson pops up with a double-A spine buster, and he can still whip it out like that. That was impressive, to say the very least. I can't wait to see what happens next with this feud, because it feels like, you know, Cody Rhodes got the win, the feud's over. I don't think the story has been told in its entirety just yet. Outside of that, really fun match. Probably my second favorite match of the weekend. That brings me to my favorite match of all weekend. It is Lucha Brothers taking on the Young Bucks. AAA World Tag Titles on the line in Escalera de la Muerte. Try and pronounce this out right. Escalera de la Muerte. And that was just phenomenal. So many freaking high spots. If you've never seen a Young Bucks or a Lucha Bros match, this was a shock to the system. This was something that if you're a WWE fan looking to find an alternative, this was something you needed to see. And you'd say, okay, give me that when it comes to the ladder match. Give me all of the great things that were happening over the course of that matchup. The Canadian Destroyers, give me all that crap. It was possibly the most amazing match, start to finish. I can definitely put right here, right now, 4.5 stars. I wouldn't give it 5 stars because, again, it just didn't. It was great. It was fun. A great spot match. But I couldn't quite get it to go one step higher in my hierarchy, in my power rankings. Meanwhile, in the final match, Chris Jericho, Adam Page, and it ended the way it needed to. And everybody wants to crap all over the AEW title going to a old man, a 50-year-old man like Chris Jericho is. I got to say, I absolutely enjoy that. You know why? Because guess what? He's got notoriety. He's got the name brand of Chris freaking Jericho. I want to see Chris Jericho be the champ. That way the title has a lot more legitimacy, because I feel like Adam Page, his first title, shouldn't be the AEW world title in his first title match. It should be a guy like Chris Jericho who's world traveled, because it makes it seem like a bigger deal. It makes it seem even more just monstrous. Imagine if back in the day when you had the WWE, or WCW, excuse me, have their title, and you didn't have Ric Flair to put it on. You didn't have a true legacy guy. But then you sign on Hulk Hogan. That means that title is going to mean a whole lot more. The second you have a guy like a Hulk Hogan have that belt on you, and it immediately puts over the entire company. It makes everything seem like an even bigger deal. Can't wait to see what happens with the WWE in their next shot towards AEW, who definitely had the best all-around show of the Labor Day weekend, the 3 shows that actually wound up airing. And I can't wait to see what happens down the line. And one more thing before we wrap up the 20 by 20 Programs podcast weekend that was, in terms of pay-per-view talk. Quick heads up that we're changing the schedule a little bit. Instead of doing it once a week, we're doing it multiple times a week. And a heads up, once September 18th rolls around, we'll wind up making a lot of changes with the show. And then October 2nd, we will be making significant changes to the programming notes that we have here Mondays will always be pay-per-view review days. If we have a pay-per-view, if we don't, we might go free form. We might not. I think I will be doing a pay-per-view review of MLW War Chamber going on this Saturday. That's going to be a lot of fun. I'm definitely going to try and book some cool stuff with that later on this week. And then Tuesdays is going to be a Raw review. That will always be there. Wednesdays will be a little bit different because, of course, you've got SmackDown Live coming up for the next month or so. And then you'll see the switch over to Fox on the first week of October. So a few more weeks and we'll have SmackDown reviews on Wednesday. And then it'll shift over to Saturday. I'll get that back to that in a little bit. Wednesdays will be SmackDown Live. And then once it switches over, I will do it'll be a free form on Wednesdays, just like old times. A free form 20 by 20 Progress podcast. I could be talking about a lot of different things, a lot of big news stories, a lot of new big headlines. I could be having a guest on the program because I'm going to try and do that a lot more. Or I could very well do something entirely different, not do a show at all that day. It just depends. Thursday will be the NXT and AEW recap shows. Fridays will be another free-form type of show. Again, I want to try and do this every day, but it's not necessarily 100% guaranteed. It'll be a free-form show, or if we have a big pay-per-view coming up like MLW War Chamber, or even when you look at what's going on WWE, AEW Full Gear's going to be coming up in November. So I can say right here, right now, we're going to have at least 3 to 4 shows a week. And on Saturdays, we'll do a SmackDown review. The beauty of it is I'll be in studio those nights, especially during football season, so I'll be able to kind of watch it live as it happens and give you an idea and do a quick recap podcast on Saturday. That way, you can enjoy your weekend and enjoy the world of sports entertainment through my eyes. So hopefully you enjoyed the special edition, AEW review edition of the 20 by 20 Progress podcast, where we're giving you a lot of great content over the next couple of weeks. And I'm out of here. Hopefully you have a great rest of your Labor Day. And also, you enjoy your Monday Night Raw. We'll be back tomorrow to review what happened on Monday Night Raw. And maybe we hear a big announcement that's been teased over the last 24 to 48 hours. See you later, everybody.